Welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, your host, joining you live from the Oakland Hills in California on Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. Delighted to be with you today and very excited. Last night, I was at Twitter. The Startup Product San Francisco Bay Area was hosted at Twitter at university by their developers group, and Woody Zuhl of Mob Programming was there with his whole Mob team. They came up from San Diego to present. Thanks to Nick Muldoon and Johan and the whole Twitter staff for hosting us. It was a great event. And shout out to the new Startup Product members. Today we're talking about human-centered design with Alejandro Rios. And he is coming in from Colombia. And before you come on, Alejandro, let me tell you that the Global Product Management Talk is a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We are weekly broadcasts discussing vital issues affecting professionals passionate about product excellence, product management, startups, marketing, innovation, and methodology. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/prodmgmttalk. That is our Twitter handle at prodmgmttalk, and our hashtag if you are tweeting. Use #prodmgmttalk, and I will be monitoring the tweets and shout out to you to bring you into this discussion. I have posted some questions to start the discussion off with Alejandro. And so I am Cindy Faye Solomon. You can find me on Twitter at Cindy F. Solomon. That's C-I-N-D-Y-F, as in Fred, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. And we are brought to you this week and weekly by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. You can find them on the web at AIPMM and go to AIPMM.com. They promote worldwide excellence in product management education with training, certification, and professional networking opportunities, providing corporate members an assurance that their product professionals are operating at peak performance. They are the only worldwide certifying body for product managers, product marketing managers, innovation leaders, and agile product managers. They have a great web series on Fridays. Check them out at AIPMM.com. Thank you to Sprintly. Find them on the web at sprint.ly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going. It is project management software showing the development process to managers and non-engineers at a top-level view of what programmers are doing. Use PRODMGMTTALK2013 for 10% off your first 3 months at Sprintly. Thank you to the Startup Product Movement for product excellence at startupproduct.com and the Startup Product Academy, forwarding product leaders with innovative approaches and continuous learning opportunities. Brought to you also this week by the new Webcast Digest, daily curated educational webcasts, webinars, and free online events for your continuous learning. Daily, there are more than one, up to 1 hour event from thought leaders, cross industries, cross functions. There are 8 different categories of webcasts. You can follow the Twitter feed at Webcast Digest and go to startupproduct.com/webcast for only $5 a month. Your subscription will give you access to all of the registration URLs for each individual event. If you'd like to sponsor the Webcast Digest, the Global Product Management Talk, or Startup Product Talk communities worldwide, get in touch with me, Cindy at Startup Product. So today we are talking with Alejandro Rios, who is an innovation designer and entrepreneur, talking about the human-centered design approach to product and startup business development. Human-centered design can help validate market opportunities and understanding of customers and their behavior. Human-centered design has the potential to create and capture value through innovation to develop sustainable and scalable business models. Our speaker today, Alejandro Rios, presented recently in San Francisco at Product Camp San Francisco, a design thinking approach to product management and startups. It was a very popular session, and he also recently launched Startup Product Innovation on Columbia community in Medellin, which had a very successful launch just last week. And by the way, you can go to startupproduct.com on the blog. We post a report and pictures and tweets of what happened at that event, as well as the event last night at Twitter. And also there is an events calendar of upcoming in-person events. And Woody Zuhl, who spoke about mob programming at Twitter last night, is also giving a all-day workshop tomorrow, Thursday, in San Francisco. If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area and you would like to attend that workshop on mob programming, tweet me or tweet Woody Zuhl, W-O-O-D-Y-Z-U-I-L-L, to get invited to come. So, Alejandro, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining, and very excited to really go into depth about this whole design thinking and the education that you're providing and the whole community. So would love to hear from you before we dive in. Tell us about what's happening with the community and what you actually did at that first event. The pictures are awesome.
Yeah, that was an amazing event. We basically starting to start a conversation here in Colombia and Latin America about the value of the product management body of knowledge as a profession, and also the value of design and human-centered innovation. So all these concepts, if you will, buzzwords about design thinking and creativity, innovation, are all aimed for the same purpose, which is helping people to actually make their ideas real and collaborate with each other. So the event was a total success. We aim to work with the local government to tackle challenges that the city itself is facing. So they're aiming to do open innovation and putting challenges for people to come up with ideas themselves for things that they are going to use on a daily basis. So it was a great start for this startup movement here, and we will need to do more events in the future.
So that's very exciting that you're getting buy-in with the government. And you mentioned the product management body of knowledge, which, by the way, is in textbook form and it's available at startupproduct.com. Under store, there's a book section. It's the first book listed there, so you can purchase it right there. And so within it, there are 7 phases, which it's the AIPMM 7-phase framework, talking about the life of a product and what it takes. Here in Silicon Valley, the big, I would say, obsession is all around the build, building the product, getting it out to the customers immediately and iterating on the build. But we know that before you start building, we should be conceiving, ideating, thinking innovatively, and testing the market with prototypes, shifting the paradigm. So we're looking at what the needs are and what are our appropriate products to build before we start building. So that would be in those 7 phases. It would be the first 2 phases, I would say, which is conceive, which is go through all the designing, thinking, and prototyping, and then go to plan, to actually plan what and test that the plan is correct.
Yeah, that's correct. So, mostly people that come from a development or engineering background, their education is aimed to makes them jump into ideas. So, when you first get your first idea, you start running behind it and start building it, and you haven't finished thinking of the problem, and you already have started building the solution. So. That's what initially custom adaptation about design and how designers tackle problems. They don't get this temptation to get to the first idea, to build the first idea they come up with. They first try to feel what you will call the front end of those phases of the whole product development cycle. So they feel all these fuzzy front end, as they call them, with all the inspiration and all the possible things that may be possible to come up with a solution. So they use that as a way to think in different solutions and not just the first one. That's what I find my most fascinating about design thinking, because it's not just like a phase in a stage gate process. It's more like a way of seeing things, that you don't jump into solutions, but you take the time to use your full brain to come up with creative solutions and prototype, and you don't get frustrated by not having the final solution in the first place.
Excellent. I'm trying to tweet out. and so in the pictures, you actually had people doing things with stickies, and so I really want to know, what was that process? Because one of the things that we started doing at our Startup Products East Bay is startup product games, which Yelena Zatmari put together. And we actually have people come together in a group, and we give them an industry that is not an industry they're used to actually create a product in group consensus. They have to come up with the problem they're solving, name it, position it, and tell us a target audience. So they have to do all the planning and then present it, but there's no physical aspect. We don't, in that game that we do, almost as an icebreaker, because everyone really enjoys it, and it stretches them because they have to think outside of their own product and industry, but there's no physical component. It's just at the talking phase of it.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because people don't see much value when they grow up to draw things and make sketches and build with Lego blocks or whatever. All those skills that we learned as a kid to imagine things and to build new stuff, we lost them along the way when we grow up. And it's something that we as humans need a lot to come up with ideas, is to actually make prototypes and visualize them, because when you sketch, you're getting like a feedback from your, as I said before, your full brain. So you start thinking logically with your left side of the brain, and then when you do actual stuff and drawing or building with your hands, you're stimulating as well the right side of your brain, and that increases the chances to come up with better ideas, and it also helps to communicate what you're thinking to other people, because sometimes the language implies a barrier, that when you try to use some words, but always making a drawing or having something physical to touch is a much better way to collaborate with people, especially when you're in the same room. It's an important a huge opportunity to have people in the same room, because you can do that And there are many open innovation platforms that try to replicate that in the online world, and especially in these creative phases, it's very hard to do so.
Ah, yes. So you're saying when you take people beyond verbal and just into a physical interaction, and it increases the not only does it activate the other side of the brain, but it increases the ability to collaborate. And I hadn't thought of that languaging words can actually be a block, especially if we're talking literally different languages, but even if we have different perspectives.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why I fell in love with post-its when I saw that designers use them a lot, because the nice thing about post-its is that you can write something on them, and then you can move them. And that's very interesting, because when you're discussing with people, it's very nice to see how different people group or make a connection between concepts and ideas in different ways. So when you do the exercise of making people connect these ideas and move the post-its and make groups and categorize them as they want, that triggers associations and make those hinges up on their brain to create the new connections that bring the creativity, the spark of creativity, if you will. So that's mostly what we did on that session. We skipped the part of the inspiration that it's also very important, that getting insights from the customers and pictures and quotes from people, having the problem that is the challenge was going to tackle. So we took all of that previously prepared to the session, and we put that as an inspiration for people, and we made them have a first row of exchanging experiences from their childhood or anything they have seen before about that problem. So they will connect with that those emotions and be inspired for the next phase, which was actually the ideation phase. Because, you know, people tend to think that creativity is just sitting in a group and start throwing ideas, but you first have to get some inspiration and connection, empathy, as designers called it.
Wow, so you actually went pretty deep, and we had the D School at Stanford, the design school, actually takes people through a process, and we had put on a crash course, which they actually gave us the video and all of the curriculum to take people through that process. But I think you even went deeper. I mean, we did not take people all the way back to their childhood. But what an opportunity. It's almost like you have to tell them, okay, leave your professionalism at the door and come in really with not only an open mind, but open hands to participate here.
Yeah, that's something that it's totally needed to do these sessions. Actually, it was a real challenge to try to do this in such a short time, because we only had 1 hour and a half. But we also take all these tools from the Stanford Design School, also from IDEO and other agencies. And many people is compiling tools and things that we can use and combine here. But what we are seeing here is that not only these design tools are useful, but also like the lean principles can be combined to try to leverage the time that we have for the session. So that's why having people with short goals or tasks and not aiming for big, like coming up with a new disrupting idea in such a short time is not a realistic thing to expect, but this could trigger things in the back of the minds of people that at some point will connect with other things and come up with those solutions that we're expecting.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned lean, and lean principles are, from a classical product management point of view, they're best practices in product management. You always want to increase efficiency. You always want to work aligned with the business case and cross-functionally, and you always want to move as quick without blockades as possible. So lean, I feel it has codified best practices that used to be only in the domain of product managers and brought it forward, as well as, you know, from a management perspective, it's brought it deeper into the full product development thinking.
Yeah, that's right. So all these authors that have compiled the lean startup and customer development processes have done a great job at putting all those best practices, like, you know, in a more practical and closer way to help people in designing and taking products to the market do, because sometimes this new development process can be frustrating when you design a product and then you end up doing something else, and people before were frustrated by this, and now it's like the norm, like it's expected that you end up with something different that you started. So I think it's very cool to combine those principles with this more human-centered design, and not only design products from marketing, statistics, or research that throws some numbers and graphics, but with actual people quotes and pictures and videos and the experience that they, as they face the problems that you want to solve.
Yes, yeah. So I want to just give a shout out to our tweeters and listeners. Hi, Gil Zilberfeld, who says that it's become a habit for him on Wednesday evenings to listen to us, and he's, I'm not sure where he's located, but if it's the evening for him, he's certainly not in California, so thanks for listening. And Distilled Innovation, which is your group, thanks for retweeting. Shout out to Mark Eglon, and a bunch of other people I can tell are listening. You're welcome to call in, by the way. If you'd like to call in and join us on the show, you can call 323-927-2957. Our six-time Emmy-winning sound engineer and musician excellente, BZ Lewis, will screen your call. I'm sitting in a soundproof studio at his studio132.com. So also, if you are listening and you can call the number 323-927-2957 and listen live, you won't get a delay. If you're listening over the internet, there is a delay as we go through Blog Talk Radio and Skype. But so you're welcome to listen to our conversation live and join in. And also follow us on Twitter, PRODMGMTTLK. So I'm trying to, there was a couple of the things I forgot to mention when we started out, but I'll remember them as we go forward. I know, why don't we just delve into the questions? So the first question was, Alejandro, how can innovation help us have a passionate, total quality life? And I really appreciate how you make this personal.
Yeah, it's totally personal for me. I truly believe that innovation is something that is encoded or in our genes, if you will. It's something that we do, and it's very natural, because also the history of nature has shown that evolution and everything in the origin of life, it's a whole story of innovation and making things better and exploring the world. So I do see innovation as a way to succeed at that exploration of the world and live fulfillingly and make it better if you want to be to leave your footprint in this world. So I think that all these tools and methods that we have are not something new. I mean, it's ways of seeing problems that have been in the world for a while, but we just have been forgotten them, and all the post-industrial era have make us think that we should go just for one field of knowledge and specializing. And when you do that, you start missing all the other things that you could fulfill as a human being. So I truly believe that all this information and new knowledge that we're seeing and people all around the world talking about these topics is going to make us live more fulfillingly and improve the things that we don't want in the world right now or that we have messed up.
Yes, and that's key. So it's interesting because often innovation is thought of as bringing something new that hasn't previously existed, you know, being creative, but you're actually saying, look, innovation is also improving on what exists.
Yeah, that's right. You know, innovation is not only coming out. I mean, everything is a combination or comes from something else. It's built on something else. So you don't really create something totally new. It's always something that was inspired in something else. So when we innovate either in our companies or in our own lives, we start with what we do have now. And we find opportunities for improvement and we make new connections to see how other things or other patterns in the world work for that. And we make a new connection to explore if that solution will work for us or not.
Excellent. So tell me about Distilled, your company or your group.
Yeah, Distilled Innovation. Distilled Innovation is it's a team that we put together here to take all these tools here to the Latin America ecosystem, because we found that here in Latin America we've been for years trying to copycat to copy the Silicon Valley, and you know that's a trend all over the world. All the cities are trying to copy what they see in Silicon Valley, and that just simply doesn't work. We have to engineer our own valley or our own innovation ecosystem here. So that's mainly what we aim to do, making all the companies here innovate, and also the startups, they need a lot of help. And because of the restrictions and conditions that we have here, we also have a great opportunity to innovate. It's a huge market, the Latin American market, and there are lots of industries that have not been disrupted in many years. So just copying or having companies in other parts of the world to come here, it just won't work. Transparently, the culture differences are remarkable. So we aim to build these kind of bridges between companies, between startups, between think tanks, and all this knowledge that we're talking about, and the conversation that we have with startup product movement has also been one of our goals, like keeping up that connection with other like-minded people.
I want to shout out to a great fan, Alicia Dixon, coming in from Maryland. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for listening. And she retweeted that Alejandro feels that innovation is natural, personal, and intuitive, that creativity enables exploration of the world. And thank you, Gil. Shalom. So he's listening from Israel, where it is it is night. Shalom, and I know there's a big product management community in Israel. And hey, Gil, you're welcome to bring startup product community there. So tell me more about the situation in Colombia and how the government is involved and how it is unique. It's very rare that I hear people saying, we don't want to emulate Silicon Valley. We want to build bridges, but we have our own unique challenges and ecosystem that we understand that, you know, just taking the Silicon Valley model is not sufficient.
Yeah, and that's a very hot topic right now here. Many people is trying to understand what makes us unique. And I think one of the key things that is hard to copy from the Valley area is that the gold rush was the first thing that make people go to the Bay Area in the first place, and the people and the culture that was formed around that gold rush is very different from what we have here in Latin America. In Colombia, for instance, we were a colony from the Spanish Empire, and most of the natives that were living here by that time were conquered and almost disappeared from this land. So the reasons and motivations for the origin of this country are rooted in some aspects that are in a way a little bit selfish. So the culture here aims for a very competitive environment, and that has been a little bit of a blocker for investment in new startups, because sometimes people don't believe that those startups can make it. And I think that's the main focus of the government here, trying to make people actually have investments and exits that prove that we can make it. And there are some success cases in the region. You have some in Argentina, in Brazil, and we also have a couple here. But still, it's something that we need to value. So the key stakeholder here, or the key partner for those startups here in the next years, especially these years, looks like will be the normal, the formal industries, the traditional industries that have been here for a while. They do have a track for more of an industrial kind of economy than a digital or tech, new tech economy, but that's starting to change. So leveraging all those traditional industries and mixing them through the open innovation concept with the new startups seems to be the way to go for building our own ecosystem here.
Excellent. So I'm trying to tweet some notes based on what you're saying, and after the talk, you're welcome to go back and correct if I have tweeted from the wrong point of view or, you know, wrong understanding. So this is fascinating. So how can – so I know that Chile has this a program to invite – startups to come there and live there, I think, for 6 months. Because James Kennedy from Pi Hole TV was a guest on the show and was in San Francisco for a while. And hey, James and your wife, congratulations. I'm sure you've had your baby by now. She was very pregnant in the studio. So they had gone to Chile and lived there and participated in that startup community. Is that something that looks attractive in Colombia or considering that? Now, their intention was to bring outside entrepreneurs into the country, but it's sounding to me like the focus in Colombia is to, of course, encourage local entrepreneurs.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, having foreigners or immigrants that come here with their startups and their connections and their experience and their knowledge on how to build businesses and how to do things is definitely something key to build the ecosystem. And Colombia has done a lot to try to attract people here. Actually, that's one of the key strategies for this year, I think, especially cities like Cartagena and Medellin, which are very touristic, and they attract a lot of tourism from all over the world. They have started seeing people to see the startup movement and willing to stay and move here. So, and those people are attracting lots of other people that also want to relocate and build businesses here. So I think that's very important. Historically, Colombia hasn't been like a port for migration. We have been with the same demographic base for centuries. But, you know, we're in a globalized world now, and Colombia has made so much improvements in terms of security and branding as well. So it's a totally different situation now, and that's definitely something we aim to do, attract people and indie developers and venture capitalists to live and actually move here.
So what would be, and you say the government is, you know, very involved, so what might be perks were people to be considering? Look, it's a very... A huge risk to start a startup. It's a huge investment of time and resources and everything else, and it's quite competitive, certainly in Silicon Valley, to get investment. So are there incentives that the government is providing in Colombia to make it worthwhile or easier to start up?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Going forward in the government in Colombia is involved in encouraging entrepreneurs to move there. Are there government incentives that they're providing? Should I think of relocating?
Well, I've heard some initiatives like that, but it's still not like an official strategy, or there's not a formal program to do so, but there are programs to help people come and invest here, especially in Medellin. I've seen that there are lots of expats from the U.S. are starting to get organized and they have started to build their own community to help other expats to move into the city. So you can start seeing the foreigners themselves to help each other to come and relocate.
Awesome. So why don't we move back into the questions, because I don't know if we've talked around it. But I don't know if we've sufficiently defined human-centered design, which I am abbreviating as HCD.
Yeah, HCD, that's how IDEO calls it. And I think it's very, very good to call it that because it's not just like something that you can grab from from design and put it as a new method. It's something that is totally human-centered. It's the people who is the starting point here, and it's also the ending point. So when you put people at the center of innovation, it all changes. You start by wondering how that people lives and how do they use the products and how do they experience things, and then you build new experiences for them, and then you worry about building a business to bring that experience to the customer. So it's a totally different way of seeing things, and there's not like a single design for design thinking, because it's a collection of things. On a way, it's just some tools that can help manage your creativity and your innovation process, but it's also a way of tackling any problem that you will have, and a way of seeing things that you don't have to get the right solution in the first place. So most people have come to an agreement that it's not a tool or a process, but more like a mindset. It's a collection of concepts and a common language to talk about these things. So there's no a truly single design thinking process or tools. It's the whole thing of having design as an inspiration and humans as the center of that inspiration and innovation.
Yeah, and you know, it's even the impetus for this startup product movement for product excellence. It's about starting with people. And I think it is intuitive, and it makes total sense. Because if we're building products, you know, who's on the planet? It's for people. Why shouldn't everything that we've been doing, you know, be for the purposes of forwarding, contributing to, and enhancing the quality of life for me, for the people who are working on the product and using the product, purchasing it, and recycling it, everything else. But I think where the distinction is that how products have been built have not been with a focus on necessarily serving humans or bettering humans. It's been with a focus on, hey, here's this cool technology. Let's play with it and see what we can do with it. After we build it, let's figure out what's the purpose of it.
Yeah, and that's something that I really like when I first met you at the Product Bootcamp. The vision they had about product managers and product people in product as a both an artist and a builder, that's something that is so true about design thinking, that it's that you don't forget that you're also an artist and you have to be inspired to build a new product. It's not just like filling some requirements that someone throws at you, but it's getting inspired and creating something new. And if you want to give design thinking a process and a stage by stage naming, there are some people that have like four steps for design thinking. And the first one is where you have to know what is it that you're dealing with. So you feel all that fuzzy front end, that you don't know what is it that you want to tackle, with all the insights and all the observations and interviews, and you empathize with people's experience on that field. Then the second step is what if. That's an interesting question, because at that point you start wondering why things are like that, and what if you do something different. So that part of design thinking is like the most innovative, because you start challenging the status quo, and you start thinking, well, it would be better if we do it some somehow else. And the next step will be what of the things that we think are solutions actually work. And for that, that part is very similar to the Lean principles. You have to go to the field and go to the customer and build prototypes and build experiments and be very, very quick at learning from that. So in that part, it's an intersection with the Lean principles. And then finally, when you find what works from what have you learned, you have to deliver it. And that's something that is also very valuable about design, that you can actually communicate what your value proposition or what the thing you found is valuable. The design can help you not only to understand and to understand a problem and to come up with new ideas, but also to communicate to your solution. So it's a way of seeing things all across the process.
Excellent. So design thinking helps understand and communicate the value. So what kind of, by the way, you're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. I'm talking with Alejandro Rios. He's a design thinking telecom engineer and entrepreneur who believes in innovation as a vital force for a passionate total quality life. He's a technology entrepreneur with both development and product design management backgrounds, currently based in Latin America. His portfolio of projects go from Cloud Call Center and PBX, unified communications using open source and voice over IP, through several Twitter mashups, agile practices combined with PMI and design thinking for startups. You can follow him on Twitter at Alerios, A-L-E-R-I-O-S. And Alejandro, I know that you're quite active on Twitter. You have quite a sizable following, which is commendable.
Yeah, I know a few tricks, you know. Twitter, social media, it's about not only being active, but also a few tricks that you can manage and master. So I know my tricks, and I think posting and sharing things with other people, it's key to build that. I mean, we're in a global ecosystem now. I'm here in LATAM, you're in San Francisco, we're talking about awesome things, so the internet and social network are the natural place for that.
Yes. So how does human-centered design validate market opportunities and understanding of customers? So you took us through the steps in the process from a human-centered design point of view, but what are there specific procedures or methodologies to validate the opportunity?
Okay, so there are lots of tools that you can use. So you start with the people that you're talking to, and also with the team that has to be passionate about what you're going to do, right? So it doesn't work. Innovation doesn't work if you don't care about the topic that you're working on. So those are very important things to start from. So we start by validating the people on the team that we're working on are actually passionate and connected with the issue that we're working. So that's the first thing that you should validate. If you have a balanced team, if you have the connections to tackle that problem, if you have experience, etc. So having like a first people problem fit face, if you will. So that's the first thing that you should do. And there are lots of tools to do so. There is this personal business model canvas, which is a slightly variation from the business model canvas from Russell Berder that you can use to make people be aware of what their career purpose is and if the problems and products or things that they are working on are aligned with the their career purpose. Otherwise, it's going to be much more difficult.
So you're mentioning a personal business model canvas? Is there an actual physical link to this, or can you point us to finding that? Because I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, there's a book from the same community that wrote the Business Model Canvas book. I don't think I have the link at the point of behind, but I do have this startupdesigntoolkit.com URL where I'm putting together all these tools and compiling, curating all these tools that we use and people has shared as well. So you will find it there, and I'm going to put it everything here in that page. Everything we've been talking about is also more familiar and written form in there. So it's startupdesigntoolkit.com.
Awesome.
So that's one of the tools that you can use that I found it very useful. When you start tackling the problem, there's a tool called phrasing the challenge. That is, sometimes when you start with a problem, you have to put it in a more open way, like not just restricting to a limited set of possible solutions. You have to phrase the challenge in a way that it's a problem that you personally have, and it's a one-sentence challenge, not too broad, not too narrow. So that's a tool that you can use. There's also the Lean Canvas. If you know it, it's a variation from the Business Model Canvas. And the Lean Canvas I like it because it has a focus on the first stage when you still don't know what your business model is. You still don't know much about what you're looking for. So it focuses on stating the problem and getting insight about the problem. So if you start working on the Lean Canvas, you can then identify who your customer is and what the problem is, and then you can design like a research investigation, a research that you're going to conduct. And for that, there are many tools that you can use. If you go to hcdconnect.org, that's a website from IDEO, and they shared their business, their human-centered design toolkit, and there are tools for this part of the process when you get how to do it and how to conduct interviews, how to do observations, what you need to take into account. So that's a very valuable resource. They have these PDFs that you can download, and there are also histories from all about the world on how they have managed to do everything in their own locations. So hcdconnect.org is a great resource, and recommend it a lot. For the next phase, if you will, to get all those insights and interviews and everything that you've collected from the customers and put it in a visual way. So again, having all this information in a visual way communicates all those insights in a far more better way than you know, some graphics or some numbers. Having the visuals, the actual pictures of people facing the problems triggers many connections in the back of the minds of people getting inspired by those information. So there are user profiles, there are personas, there are posters or mind maps and many other tools that you can use to put into graphical form all that information that you gather during your research. And that's something very valuable that you can do at this point. And you can use that all across the process. Like even when you're dealing, doing the marketing and the growth hacking part of the process, when you have the solution built, that those posters and mind maps and pictures are going to give you information on the colors that you should use to communicate, on what the things you know people wear and what it's in their daily life. So there are some tools that you can use to validate the customer. If I'm answering the question.
Excellent. Those are great resources, and I know that you and Distilled Innovation are developing also resources to use with the community and to test and use with the startup community in Colombia.
Yes, we're also building our own set of tools, and you know these tools are everywhere, but it's more like when you start a new project, you have to pick the tools that are going to be useful for that particular project. So it's not like a one size fits all thing. You have to know that there are tools for each part of the process, that you have to know what's your goal, and then you have to go and pick the tools that are good for that particular project.
Awesome. And so you actually go into companies and teach them how to do this human-centered design approach?
Yes, that's what we do. There are some companies that already have some innovation process. Sometimes there are others that are not familiar with this concept. So it's a process of first trying to do some cultural and team building and cultural shifts. And that's like the first thing that we're doing right now. Also with the startup product meetups and the events that we do, all the sessions are first trying to make people open their minds and shift the culture. Many people would just want them to give, you know, that you give them a step-by-step process and something that they can just check in a list. But it's hard to make people think that it's not so hard or strict process to follow. So we do that, and we also are in the process of building more training experiences, and not only like even a course, but very practical experiences. We think that that's key for learning these concepts. We're also accelerating a couple of startups using these tools. So that's what we're up to now.
Excellent. And I look forward to doing a webcast, which we've talked about, for you to present the visual aspect of these tools and go to the next steps about what you're providing and provide that education piece to the Startup Product Worldwide community. So thank you, and I will tweet out when that is available. And I just want to tweet to shout out to our tweeters. Thank you. Hey, so Alicia Dixon just let me know that at South by Southwest coming up March 7th, there is a presentation called Your Founder is Your Product Manager with a bunch of friends of and speakers from Startup Product Summit. So Alicia Dixon was here at Product Camp San Francisco for Product Bootcamp. Jason Shaw spoke at the last Startup Product Summit, SF2, as well as Teresa Torres, and Paul Young is a friend of Product Camp. So that is at South by Southwest If you're going to Austin on Friday, March 7th, and I've tweeted out the URL, way to go, Alicia. Thanks for bringing it to my attention, and that sure will be a great discussion. And thanks to our other tweeters, and Jonathan McPhail, Ellie Regalada, let's see, Jim Howard, Christopher Nash, Vinay Chandra, Gil Zibberfeld, thanks for listening, thanks for retweeting Mark Eglon, and join us again next week, where I think I will have a speaker who is has been nominated for an Edison Award, their product or company, so I will make that available through Twitter. Continue following at Product Management Talk, ProDMGMTTALK. Thank you so much, Alejandro, for joining us. This has been very insightful, and people certainly resonate with human-centered design and thinking. And thanks for joining us on the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. Thanks to Blame Sally for the music. You can find them at Blame Sally. And have a great week. We can continue the tweets online.
Okay. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
Lost to a thief on a dry winter leaf. I wouldn't know love if you